I'm joined by Ian Black, who's in Damascus still. Ian, Assad has just issued this amnesty. How significant do you think that is?
Well, the Syrians I've been talking to about it today, and I'm particularly talking about people who aren't officials, are honestly fairly dismissive of it. Of course, it's not the first time there's been an amnesty of this kind. It happens every so often. The timing is significant in one sense, and that tomorrow is Syria's national day, its independence day. And it is often the case that an event like that, obviously, which the government must promote and has an interest in doing so, there are amnesties and gestures of this kind from the government.
Moez Al-Khatib, the opposition leader, of course, asked for prisoners to be released as part of his controversial conditional offer of talks with the government. The proof of any amnesty will be the release of prisoners in terms of significance.
People I've been speaking to are not impressed by this offer. They say flatly that it's nothing to do with gestures to the opposition. It's not intended to signal a readiness for negotiations with the Syrian National Coalition, the armed opposition, or anybody else. The fact is that the prisons in Syria are full to overflowing. Most people say that that's the main reason why this is happening. Of course, it doesn't do any harm on the eve of the National Day of Independence Day to show that the government does things that people will be pleased about. But this is quite limited. The amnesty doesn't apply to people convicted for smuggling weapons or drug-related crimes. It's true that people convicted of joining the rebellion would get lighter sentences, I think a quarter of the sentences. But another exception is that it doesn't apply to people, and that could run into thousands who have avoided conscription during this crisis of the last 2 years. So I think it would be a mistake to read too much significance into it. You might argue that it reflects a sense by the Syrian government that it's not doing too badly at the moment. Some of the arguments about this crisis are going its way. Some of the events on the ground are going its way. I've been here a few days now, and I detect any government is going to put across its point of view. That's only natural. But there's a sense, I think, that they think maybe that things are getting perhaps a little bit better from their point of view. So to have on the eve of this national holiday, it's actually called Evacuation Day, it commemorates the departure of the French colonial power from Syria in 1946, that on the eve of a day like this, it doesn't do any harm at all to make a gesture of this kind. The people who will be released, it's to be remembered, have not actually been convicted of anything. So that tells you something about the numbers of people who are in prison without having been to court.
Give us a sense of the atmosphere in Damascus. Does it feel as if that this crisis could go on for months, years yet?
I think that, having been here now a few days, my sense is that there is no swift resolution to this crisis. The Syrian government is in control of Damascus, the capital. It has powerful military security forces. It is fighting hard against its enemies very close to the capital. That's true. The most extraordinary thing about being here is to be in a large city, which is more or less going about its daily life like any city anywhere in the world. Every so often throughout the day and sometimes into the night comes the boom of explosives as missiles and shells are fired, and sometimes aircraft bomb rebel targets very close by. This morning I was having a meeting in Meze. It's a suburb of the city where there are a lot of government offices, a residential area. And there was a tremendous thunderclap of noise as what I think was probably a volley of missiles was fired towards some unseen target not very far away. And ordinary people just take this in their stride. They barely react, they don't flinch, they carry on doing what they're doing. It's true that inside the city there have been serious incidents. Just a week ago there was a bombing in a place called Sabah Baharat outside the Syrian Central Bank, which is about as central in the city, as you can get, and 15 people were killed a few days, a couple of weeks before that. 12 or 15 students were killed when mortar bombs landed on part of the university campus because the rebels are within easy enough range to launch attacks of that kind. I think perhaps they were intending to target the university. They may have been trying to hit government installations, but that's what's happened. There is an atmosphere of fear, of random death, and people are very nervous. It's difficult to move around. The city is choked by traffic, filtered through checkpoints, roadblocks, where there are long searches, identity checks, cars have to open their boots to be searched, metal explosion detectors are used. As a journalist, it's become very, very difficult to move around because of the vigilance of security forces, often young men in civilian clothes who make it their business to see what you're up to. If they don't like it, they will detain you straight away. So the atmosphere is unpleasant, but life does go on. And it doesn't feel to me from here that at this time a big battle, the Damascus, is looming, as some people say. But, you know, in a volatile situation, things can change quickly. At the moment, it seems to me that the capital, Syria, is in for a long haul with unremitting violence around it and probably continuing attacks inside it. But it doesn't feel as though it's coming to an imminent resolution to me.
Last week, Jabhat al-Nusra, one of the leading rebel groups, announced their affiliation with al-Qaeda. Is that announcement being seized upon by the regime as a confirmation of their narrative about the terrorist opposition they face?
Absolutely. I would say that it's been seized on almost with a sense of vindication. I was talking yesterday to the Deputy Minister of Foreign Affairs, Faisal Makdad, in quite a long interview in The Guardian. And the first thing he really wanted to say, the point he wanted to make, was that countries like Britain and France, which of course are supporting the Syrian opposition, are effectively, directly or indirectly, he said, supporting al-Qaeda. The Syrian government, from the very start of the crisis in 2011, tried to portray the opposition as Islamist, jihadist, terrorist, the pawns of a foreign conspiracy against Syria. Now, that was always exaggerated. It was certainly exaggerated at the time. But they clearly feel far more able than before to try to peddle this narrative, if you like, which completely ignores the other elements, significant elements of the opposition to the Syrian regime, which are people who are fighting for, of course, you know, democracy and equal rights in a non-sectarian way, far from the extremists, jihadis that official propaganda likes to focus on. But of course, it's hard to argue with the fact that the Islamist part of the Syrian uprising does seem to be more and more prominent. Now, the opposition will say, of course, that this is exaggerated, and I expect that that is correct. But there's no doubt that the moves that we've seen, with Jabhat al-Nusra linking up, as it did, with al-Qaeda in Iraq, has been very, very damaging. And of course, has been grist to the mill of the Syrian government.
Do you think it'll make France and Britain and the US more reluctant to arm the rebels?
Well, I think that in a way we're already seeing that. You know, we've been following the Syrian crisis. We've seen that the Western governments that have supported the opposition have, in recent months, been struggling with their own concern that the radical Islamist, even jihadi elements, are coming to the forefront or becoming influential. The Americans put Jabhat al-Nusra on a list of banned terrorist organizations. Now, Britain and France have so far refused to do that. But I think they're looking at it again. And discussing this yesterday with the Syrian minister, he was almost sort of crowing, as if to say, look, you know, these countries thought they could export their jihadis to Syria. Now they're coming home. We've seen reports of Europeans, I think several hundred Europeans, fighting in Syria. And now they're beginning to realize the trouble they're in. We've seen the efforts by the British, French, the Americans to establish more control over where weapons go. We've seen this effort coming through Jordan that we've been reporting on too, where the Free Syrian Army and the National Coalition the effort is to make them work more closely together so that weapons go to the right people and don't fall into the wrong hands. So the Syrian government, very astutely, is playing these anxieties, which are really there for all to see. Of course, they're exaggerating, but they have certainly a propaganda point, which they're pressing home fairly relentlessly.
Okay, Ian, take care. Thanks very much.